Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hey, everybody. I'm Annabelle England.
We've got you're born in New York. We've got your L.A. I will save you this. You moved here at about age 8.
Yeah.
You're a famous grandma. You come from a musical family. My favorite, your dad was on The Guiding Light. Did you move to L.A. because of the gig, because of your dad's gig? Did he get a gig out here and they stopped filming The Guiding Light in New York?
I think my dad was just over... I don't know. I mean, I think he just didn't want to do it anymore. And so he left and we packed up and moved to LA.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of crazy when you have a consistent reoccurring role and making a lot of money.
Do you remember being in New York at all?
I have little memories like doing ballet class, and like having this recital. I don't really remember that much, but I do remember when we moved to LA and the house that we lived in there and all that. But I mean, New York is just part of my soul. Like, I love New York. It's like part of me. And whenever I go, I feel like it's home. And it's amazing. I love New York.
Same here.
I mean, even, you know, people from the record label are thinking, you know, you should go to London and work on music, which I want to, and I will. But I feel like the people who I should be working with are here in LA.
Well, this is
I mean, even though I love traveling and I love going to London or New York or wherever, but the people who I need to work with to be more successful, because I'm always looking to grow and work with people who are better than me so I can just be bigger and bigger and bigger each time, just as a person, and those people are in LA.
How young were you when you were writing songs for ABC Family?
I was probably like 17 or 18.
Wow, that's young.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a super fun opportunity, and I did end up making just such great music, and growing up around like listening to country music, I feel like it began my love for storytelling, which is just what songwriting is. And I don't know, I guess it is just something that came really naturally to me. Because the songs we wrote that a while ago, like, they're good songs, you know? Like, and they were used for TV shows and everything, so.
But where was that kind of moment that you said, you know, maybe I can do this, you know, for myself?
I mean, I think I always knew it. Like, ABC Family wasn't really just asking me to write songs. They gave me like a 5-song deal to kind of be, they wanted me to write songs, also sing on them, and then have me do a music video. So they were kind of like making me fit into the type that could be their next thing. And at that time I was super rebellious, and like, I knew it was a good opportunity and I was having a lot of fun, but at the same time, I was thinking, like, I'm not going to do something where I have to cover up my tattoos. And so I was just super rebellious, and I knew that that's not really what I wanted to do. And I started doing dance music, and I was always collaborating with other people. But I feel like that's kind of what I needed to do to kind of make my way up and start meeting people, start getting my name recognized. And I knew I always wanted to do something solo. It was just kind of waiting for the right moment and having the right music and having the right aesthetic of who I am as an artist.
Pretty young and pretty early on, I'll save you the fake ID thing, okay? People can read.
Thank you. I love it.
So I understand about the drugs and the drinking and the burnout and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just going to say it, and this is guy to woman, you know, the skimpy outfits and realize, you know, and doing all the stuff that as a woman, it seems to be portrayed you need to do to be part of the gang and to be a woman and to be a woman in dance music. The good news for you is that was school, right? That's your training. That's what it took to sit down and get to the part that I want to get to, which is to get to the other side. But was there was there a pivotal moment where you kind of looked at your life? And notice I'm skipping over about 75% of what everybody thinks the story is. I don't think that's the story.
Yeah.
You know, was there a moment when you were having all of this, quote, early success, right? You're being a vocalist. Mm-hmm. You're up on a stage in front of 8 bazillion, quadrillion people, and you're living it. Was there a moment that just hit you that you remember? Any particular moment that you said, okay, when I'm talking to Dennis X amount of years from now, because I know you were saying that, you know, this is not who I want to be.
I think I just did what I had to do to survive. I don't even think I knew that I was really successful at that time, but I don't think I really understood how successful I was and how big these things were that I was actually doing. Like, it didn't really hit me until afterwards, but it was a lot. And I was touring with men who were a lot older than me. And I was, you know, 18, 19, and I came from a place inside where I thought that I had to be sexy to be involved, I guess, with the group or with whatever, with anyone, or to be noticed at all. But there was, I think it was just all a lot. And I don't think it was really the success. I think it was more just my inability to cope with everyday life. And that's just having addiction problems or having.
How did you know? And maybe you didn't. Maybe it wasn't any one thing that you had to make a change, that you had to go in for treatment, that you had to say, okay, I want to come out the other side and I want to be, I'm going to define it for you because success is weird. But I mean, I think that somehow something told you you could be successful in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, I think I knew the whole time that I was an addict, but I just, because I knew it, it drove me farther into addiction because I was like playing the role of the addict, the sick addict who needed more and couldn't live a sober lifestyle. And I think you're right with the success thing. And I wasn't even in a place where I would be able to have success. Like now I know what to do. I have amazing people around me. I can handle it and I can grow with the team that I have. But there was a moment, I think people were trying to get me to rehab and I just fled back to London. And then I knew in my heart, I was like, I know I have to go. And then it was either like, either I die or I go and try to do this thing.
Wow, that far. You see, I'm not trying to go down this road, but really that far. It was that far.
Well, it wasn't like everything around me was okay. Like, it wasn't like I had lost everything and I didn't have anyone who loved me and I lost all my relationships. I wasn't living under a bridge under the freeway pass, you know. I had everything around me. But what I really had lost was my connection to source, connection to a higher power. And like, I felt like my spirit was completely broken. And that to me was the bottom that I had to go through in order to seek something greater, because I wasn't able to enjoy any of the things that I had because I was so lost.
But you didn't lose, and I'm just going to use the term mentor. You didn't lose Lee Foss. You didn't lose these people. They're still part of your world, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're still part of my world. I didn't lose, but that's the thing. I mean, we were all partying together, so it's not, they weren't the people who were trying to get me. I don't know. I was hanging out with people where it's like, oh, really? You're going to try to tell me to go to rehab? Like, all the people who are trying to tell me to go to
needed
rehab.
Needed to go to rehab.
Doing the same. Yeah. So at the same time, I was thinking like, well, I don't, like, I'm not going to listen to you because I don't think what you're saying is true. But it was my brother who talked to me and he was just like, you know, and I would do anything for my brother. And he was just like, you know, I think it would be good. And it was really hard to hear because I don't know. I wasn't able to hear anyone or anything. And for some reason I had one conversation with my brother that kind of just changed everything. And it was just like, I'll try this. That was all it was. It was like this little tiny centimeter of, I'll try this and that's it. And then it ended up doing like a complete 180. And right when I was there, I was like, whoa, what have I been doing? Like, my eyes were completely open and I was just ready to like hit the ground running with recovery.
But lucky you. I mean, so, seriously.
The longer I've stayed sober, the more I've seen just how hard it is for people to get. And I really am the exception, not the rule. And so many people I know have died and have just are still struggling with addiction issues. And it's, to me, it's like, all you have to do is just not use, like, you get a support network, you don't use drugs, you figure it out. Like, there's so many resources now to, like, live a better life. Like, why don't you just do it? And I understand, though, it is hard. It is hard to live completely abstinent from everything. But at the end of the day, like, we're just in this continuous cycle that just won't stop. And we keep returning, like, people who keep going to use and keep going to drink, it's like, that's not going to help you. That's just going to make you feel so much worse. And it is so simple, but I guess that's why they call it the disease of addiction.
Yeah, let's get to the fun stuff. So this is technically, and I underline the word technically, your debut record. And yet, it's kind of a mix of a few newer things and then some things that you wanted to make sure people heard as an introduction.
Yeah, I mean, because I had released most of the songs that year, so it wasn't like, here's an album of all stuff you haven't heard. But it's okay, because I'm trying to get it to reach people who don't listen to who I am, who don't listen to me. So it will be new to all of those kind of people.
Okay, so now let's talk perception, reality, and get to what I sort of told you off camera, off audio, whatever we want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Genres. EDM. Dance music, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, trance. How do you know what the filter is for one of your songs? How do you know that a song is yours? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I have. I'm still figuring it out, but for the most part, I know what sound. Like, I can't necessarily articulate it right now, but for me, if a song I've written is really personal to a situation about me or a story of something I've been through, I know that it's mine. I know that I'm kind of selfish with my songwriting, because I don't like to, right now I'm mostly a writer for myself, and I'm not really like a huge writer for other people, because I like to use my music for myself. And unless I write a song with a few people and I can tell immediately, like, this isn't something I would want to sing, but I could totally hear someone else singing it.
When you're making this music, how much of it is, and when I say in the box, obviously, you know, a majority of this music's in the box, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But how much of it do you start out, and then how much of it do you bring to someone to mix? How much of it do you do? And how do, what's the... Again, I don't want to go through what's your process, but in some ways I want to know mm-hmm. how it got there.
Yeah, I mean, I've started to find the producers who I absolutely love to work with, and I'm still really open to working with new people, because as I said in the very beginning, like, I love to just kind of meet new people and figure out who's the best of the best that I can work with, because I want to be the best of the best, so... So I found some great producers that I love to work with. And this album is very eclectic with different producers. Like, it's not like I had three or four producers and then that was it. And we sat, or even like two, and we made the whole album in like half a year, you know, like, this is different songs with different people. But, I'd like to say that I'm the bottom line, you know, underneath everything, and I'm the thing that's kind of bringing it all together, because I think through my songwriting and my melodies, it ends up being consistent. And, you know, if I just have a session with someone who I'm just not vibing with, I just make sure not to have a session with them again. But I just want to make good music. So I think the thing that really serves me is that I do my best to just work, to continue working, and, you know, if I don't make something that great, like, I just keep working on something else. And I'm not afraid to say no to different genres, like you said, because I'm with you. Like, I believe that a good song is a good song, and it doesn't really matter about genres. It's just What sounds really good?
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is okay. two of your songs on the outside. And then you get to play anything you want in between. And I go here in the studio live and I play it.